The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood in their midst. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and whose sins you retain, they are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not there with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again inside, and now Thomas was with them. Jesus came, and although the doors were locked, he stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and place it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." And Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now there were many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. This very interesting story about the disciples and Thomas is found only in the Gospel of John. No mention of it in the other three Gospels. Even though it's a remarkable moment in the life of the infant church, it's not mentioned in the other disciples. So we're relying on John for the insight and the teaching of this moment in the life of the church. One or two background important details that help us to understand the context of this event in the life of Jesus. On the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered. Now, this is on Saturday evening for us, the eve of the Sabbath. And as we know, we celebrate the Lord's Day on Sunday, because the first followers of Jesus were all Jews. And being observant Jews, they went to the synagogue on Saturday. And after sundown, their Sabbath was over. And now they gathered to celebrate the Eucharist. While they were still devout Jews, they were followers of Jesus Christ. And so it's on the evening of that first day of the week. It's a vigil gathering on the Lord's Day. They gather to celebrate the Eucharist, to remember the teachings of Jesus, to reflect on the life of Jesus. It was their Sunday Mass. The doors were locked. Every detail in John's important. The doors were locked. They were inward looking. They were full of fear. But the risen Jesus is without fear, and he appears, he comes to them. and he greets them, "Peace be with you. Have no fear. The peace of the risen Jesus is a place without fear." They rejoiced when they saw the Lord, and he says, "Peace be with you," he says it a second time. Now we'll go on to the second appearance of Jesus, which comes 1 week later, which means they are gathered again, and the doors are locked. They're still very fearful. They're inward looking, and now Thomas is with them. It's as if Thomas missed Mass last Sunday. I mean, he didn't, you know. He wasn't there on the first gathering, which was their celebration of the Eucharist, and he missed the Mass, so he missed the visitation of Jesus. But Jesus comes again, doesn't neglect Thomas. He appears again. But Thomas had difficulty. His difficulty was not with Jesus. His difficulty was with the church. They said, "We have seen the Lord," but they were not credible. The church, the infant embryonic church, was not convincing for Thomas. Thomas had no problem with Jesus. His problem was with the church. The credibility of those who said, "We have seen the Lord," did not impress Thomas. That's kind of interesting. And Jesus appears to Thomas and he said, "Come, let me show you my wounds." Now, the wounds are very important here. When Jesus rose from the dead, he could have done an extraordinary miracle that would convince his followers that he had risen from the dead. But he doesn't do an extraordinary miracle. He shows them his wounds. And the wounds are the cross, the triumph of the cross over the world. Now, Thomas is suspicious of the credibility of the church. I don't call him a doubting Thomas. I like to call him a seeker. He's the one who questions the church. He is the one who challenges the church. He is the one who demands that the church be credible. And he said, "Unless I see Jesus Christ myself, I will not believe." Not belief in the church now, but belief in the risen Jesus. We're not a church that has a mission. We're a mission that has a church. And our first belief is in the power of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. The church is the instrument that's meant to gather us and call us to confirm us in our belief. Thomas is called Didymus. Didymus means twin. So who is the twin of Thomas? I am Thomas's twin. And you are Thomas's twin. We are the ones that are searching for a personal experience of Jesus Christ. And we come to a church hoping to have an experience of the risen Lord. However, it's the triumph of the cross over the world. It's the triumph of the spirit over the flesh. It's the triumph of truth over lies. The triumph of forgiveness over judgment. The triumph of humility over pride. Of hospitality over exclusion. It's a triumph of the servant, not the master. And the measure in which we measure the credibility of the church, as it appears in this gospel, is the measure in which the church will witness the triumph of the cross, not the triumph of the world. The church will be powerful not because we're rich or because of our numbers. We'll be powerful in the Spirit only in the measure in which we encounter Jesus Christ risen from the dead. But he shows us his wounds. And therefore, if we want to share in the triumph of the cross, we will be wounded. We will separate ourselves from certain things in the world. We may be judged. We will have to sacrifice. We'll have to give up the power and the glory of the world and embrace the cross. It requires suffering. It requires a sacrifice. Forgiving the one who is undeserving is a triumph of the Spirit. To be the servant and not demanding as a master does, this requires sacrifice. To heal rather than divide, it requires intentional decision-making that sometimes requires sacrifice. To admit our own failures, to face our sins, to own our sins, and to seek healing, that's a courageous thing, to look at ourselves. So when we look closely at this revelation of Jesus Christ to the embryonic church, it speaks to us about the revelation of Jesus Christ to us, to the church today. How much are we immersed in the values of the world? Are we willing to speak against the values of the world and proclaim the power of the Spirit, the triumph of the cross? Are we credible? I know we speak about the credibility of the church and we're struggling with the credibility of the institution, but this Word of God speaks to us about our own credibility. Sometimes when we presume to make a judgment about another, we are revealing our own weakness. We're not facing ourselves. Therefore, to follow Jesus Christ into death and resurrection and new life means to somehow embrace the triumph of the cross, to be credible. The manner in which we speak, the values we have, the positions we take on various issues in the world, how authentic and convincing are we as people that proclaim to the world the power of Jesus Christ risen from the dead and the triumph of the cross? Amen.